Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
I want to talk this morning about, as you know, I'm jumping around a bit in the Bible. Sam Ward's taken us through the book of Luke, so I feel free to just pick some of my favourite bits. But it's good to, you know, journey through a book. It's also good sometimes to just dive into bits and hopefully be encouraged. So I'm going to look at Jesus' famous last words. Do you know what Humphrey Bogart's famous last words were? I should have not switched from scotch to martinis. Winston Churchill, which is really sad, you know, Winston Churchill's been voted the greatest ever Briton. He said, oh, I'm so bored with it all. And then he died. The priest said to Charlie Chaplin, may the Lord have mercy on your soul. And with his dying breath, Charlie Chaplin said, why not? After all, it belongs to him. My dad's last words were actually a song. He sang through Mission Praise with my mum as he moved from this world to the next. That his last words were, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And he passed it from this world to the next. And Rick Warren's dad's last words were, you know what they were? Got to get one more for Jesus. He held on to Rick Warren's hands and said, son, you've got to get one more for Jesus. And wouldn't you love that to be your last words wrapped up in those two men? You just turn your eyes upon Jesus and you see his face, but your cry as you go to see him is, populate heaven, people. One more for Jesus. All the way. I want to have a sound mind all the days of my life and be on mission all the days of my life. Well, we find Jesus' last words on earth in Acts chapter 1. Of course, he continues to speak through history, and there are more red letters in the Bible. There's red letters in the book of Revelation as he speaks to the churches. But these are the last words on earth in his human resurrected body are in Acts chapter 1 and verses 7. His last words, unlike so many of the men you've just heard about, are not self-obsessed, but like his life, they're thoroughly concerned with mission. They're all about passing the baton on to us. And the disciples at this time, I'm sure you'll agree, had quite 6 weeks, hadn't they? They'd been battered by the roller coaster of life, perhaps like no men who'd ever lived. They'd had the shock of the cross. They weren't expecting that. And then they'd had the joy of the resurrection all wrapped up, and nothing had gone as they'd planned. They never expected the cross. Of course they didn't. They thought they were part of this incredible revival movement. They'd seen Jesus healing and deliverance and heard his teaching, and they'd been prepared to run hard for him. And then the cross seemed to undermine it all. But then there was the glory of the resurrection. But still, despite having met Jesus repeatedly in his resurrected body by this time, they still hadn't got it. They still hadn't understood what was going on here. Because they asked this question in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? The resurrected Jesus is with them. He's conquered sin and death. And they ask him the question, are you going to, at this time, restore the kingdom to Israel? So they still expected that Jesus was going to launch his Jewish renewal movement. They thought, I think Jesus was a king like David. David had his mighty men. And maybe the disciples thought, well, we're like Jesus' mighty men who are going to restore Israel. We're going to win the battle for God and everything's going to be changed. Of course, it's what Jews believed in that day, that the Messiah would come, Yahweh and the Israeli Empire would rule the world for him. And they probably, the disciples, expected top jobs in the government, didn't they? In Jesus' new government. They realized that they'd been handpicked and were ready. And they were in this period of waiting for that to happen. For them, we're like, wow, with the resurrection, we're all back on track. We're back on track. And we're going to rule and reign with Jesus over this new incredible Jewish empire that's going to go global. Anybody a little bit like that in their life, you know, you're waiting for the fulfillment of a promise. You feel like you've heard the word of the Lord and you're waiting for that. You know, I hate waiting. I'm far too impatient, don't you? I can't bear it. I've told you, at airports, I'll be pacing up and down if there's ever a delay. Michelle will be happy really reading her book. And forever in a supermarket, and the queue next to me goes faster than mine, it's like, no! I'm so impatient. But I'm impatient with God's promises as well. And I have promises that are unlike the disciples. I know they're from the Lord, and they are. He's promised me rivers in the desert, streams in the wasteland, promised us, promised a land inherited for Jesus. Even last week, Stuart Bell, who I have enormous respect for, here's the Lord. He had this flipping awesome prophecy for me and for the message at the One Festival. I wasn't even there. And he must have spent 10 minutes just prophesying over me at the message to 5,000 people or whatever in the big tent. You know what he said? Do you want to know what he said? And I believe this is a man who hears the Lord. You weigh prophecy, don't you? You test it and you hold on to the good. This is good because to me it's what the Lord said over many years. Stuart Bell said, we will open up territory that's been locked up for years. He said, lights will be turned on everywhere. People who are destitute and in debt and discontented will be seen with the eye of faith by the message. We'll bring out the good and the glory, and an army will be planted all over this nation that will display the glory of the Lord. Does that sound like what the Lord said to us repeatedly? It's like a promise from the Lord through his prophet. And we've had it from the Bible again and again that that's what we're going to see. The least becoming a thousand. The smallest, the mighty nation. Get your scriptures right, Andy. What a promise of God. And I'm in that place. We haven't seen the full measure of it, Lord. How much longer? Anybody got a promise over their life that they feel about like that? Raise your hand. Anybody got a promise? Oh, God's spoken. And it's like, how long? How long? When are we going to see the full measure of this thing? And I feel like the Lord wants to give to us kind of the same frustrating answer he gave to the disciples. He wants us to give us a kind of yes and no. He wants to give us a kind of it's here, but it's not here. It's here, but it's still coming. Because what he said to the disciples, he said, it's not for you to know the times. These are the last words of Jesus on earth. It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. See, Jesus is saying, yes, there is a new kingdom, but it's not the kind of kingdom you expect. It's not an earthly kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom where God rules and reigns. And you can experience that in your heart to start with. You can experience that here, right here. You can experience the rule of reign and all the joy that comes from that. But it's never meant to stop there. It's meant to spill out. And the rule and reign of God is meant to be known through you and me in relationship all over the world. It's a kingdom that's moving towards that ultimate day when everything will be made right. We will experience a day when there's no more poverty, no more disease, no more slaves, no more suffering and sadness. An amazing day when Jesus returns in glory, when the full rule and reign of God is displayed. We're going to be part of it. Anybody excited about that? That's my destiny. That's where I'm going. Of course, we want to know when's that? When is that day? When's that final day? We're like, is it now or is it to come? And Jesus says to them, you're not going to know. But what you can do is you can hasten that day by your faithfulness, by your obedience, by engaging in this glorious mission I've got for you. You can usher in that day. Even today, you can experience a down payment of that day. There will be a day, won't there, when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm going to see that day. There'll be a day, a final day. But today, we can call people to bow the knee, can't we? And we can be part of that kingdom breaking in the rule and reign of God. There'll be a day when there's no more disease and sickness, but we have the privilege of laying our hands on the sick and seeing disease overcome and broken and seeing God's kingdom breaking. There will be a day of no more broken hearts, but we in Jesus' name can reach out to the brokenhearted, can't we? It's called the rule and reign of God, the Spirit of God, making this a living reality. Jesus said, you'll receive power. You know, the word is dynamist. You've maybe heard this before. Literally dynamite, dynamic. You'll receive dynamic power that's like dynamite, explosive power. Christians are meant to be dynamic people. I wonder if that's the first thing the nation would say. How would you describe the Church of Jesus? Dynamite, dynamic. Well, it should be if we're moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had two main topics of conversation throughout his time between the resurrection and ascension. They were the kingdom of God and the Spirit of God. And if you like, the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit will spread this kingdom all over the world. I like Acts 1 verse 8. It's like a table of contents of the book of Acts, isn't it? Chapters 1 to 7 of the book of Acts are Jerusalem and the activity of Peter as the gospel spreads. Thousands are won in Jerusalem. And then in chapter 8, through persecution, often the way, the gospel scattered out. And he says the gospel was scattered out to Judea and Samaria. And then in chapter 9, this wild guy, Paul, saved, the most unlikely person, but he's the man to take it to the ends of the earth. He's the missionary who led the gospel out to the ends of the earth. And here we are, living in light of this promise from Jesus, that by the power of the Spirit, the gospel will go out from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. So, it's like when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive my Spirit. They were sealed. They were sealed with the Holy Spirit, a seal guaranteeing their inheritance. They've got the Holy Spirit. He's breathed on them. He's promised to them. But in the upper room, something else happened, didn't it? There was like a fullness of the Holy Spirit. Some Christians stop at the sealing level. You know, we're sealed. We've got the Holy Ghost. We're grinding away to heaven. You know, we are God's children, but we're not doing much with it. But some even stop at the filling level. We stop at the tongues of fire level. We stop at the wind, and we get excited by all the manifestations of the Spirit for us because we're filled. We're never meant to stop there. We're meant to be people who are going where? The power level. The power level, the power of the Holy Spirit is when they carried it out into the marketplace and 3,000 people were saved. Jesus said, you'll receive power and you'll be my witnesses. That's the power of the Spirit. Isn't that what we need? We don't just need to be sealed, or we don't even just need to be filled. We need to be people who are moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the period we are in now, between Pentecost and Jesus' return, is to be filled with ever greater fruitfulness as the worldwide mission of the church moves on in the power of the Spirit. It's what you've been called to. When you were saved, God's full expectation was that you'd be someone who moves in the power of the Holy Spirit. You'd be a dynamic force for good. And I love it that David's mighty men were depressed, destitute, downtrodden, forgotten men. I love that Jesus' mighty men were downtrodden, forgotten, unschooled, ordinary. But they got the dynamic of the Holy Spirit and they suddenly got it. They understood it. Oh, it's not about some little earthly kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom. It's a global kingdom that God's going to build by his Holy Spirit. And I was looking over my notes. Last time I spoke on this passage was 10 years ago somewhere. And I was looking over these notes from 2008. And I wrote this down. God wants all 6 billion people in the world to be saved. Do you believe that? God wants all 6 billion. You know how many people there are in the world today, 10 years later? 7.6 billion. There's an urgency, isn't there, to reach the masses with the gospel. God wants all 7.6 billion people to be saved. And we need to get a little bit urgent. There are masses that need to be reached for Christ. They can only be reached by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit poured out from us. William Booth. I ever mentioned William Booth? William Booth, in his latter years, he had some unbelievable battles in so many areas, but in his last years, he reached a season of incredible fruitfulness where the gospel was exploding all over the world, hundreds of thousands being won, ministries to the poor like you can't believe, crime stopping in whole cities under the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, Mr. Booth, what's the secret why are you so successful? Why do so many others try and pursue the mission that you're on, but you, everything you seem, you touch seems to turn to gold? You know what William Booth said? I'll tell you the secret. God has all of me. In fact, God has all of me there is to have. I'll tell you the secret. God has all of me there is to have. And I'm telling you, if you've heard William Booth, that is a brilliant impression. God has all of him there is to have. That's what being filled is like. Because God gets into every corner of your life. There's everything, every area, thoughts, attitudes, desires, finances, every little last dirty corner. God's got every corner. And so suddenly you're filled and ready to move in the power of the Spirit. Imagine if it could be said of us, God has all of me there is to have. We can't afford to live any other way. There's too much to do. There's too much glory that Jesus deserves. There's too many to reach. The masses need reaching for Jesus. We need a people who, here we are, we take you seriously, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses. It's not a power, a thrill, a fill. It's a power for them so we can be his witness. Anybody want to be a witness for Jesus? If you want to be a witness for Jesus, stand right now. Stand, because I want to pray over you that you will receive power, not for you, but for them. I pray for a powerful move of your Holy Spirit, Lord, here at The Message, that we won't waste a moment. We won't waste a day, Lord, and that it can be said of us, you have everything of us there is to have, Lord. And if materialism and greed and pride, if spirit of this age has got in, if we're not truly living sacrifices, I pray this morning you'll convict us. And through all the battle of life, I pray, God, you'll have everything of us there is to have. Spirit of God, show your power in a rag bag bunch. Show your power in Jesus' mighty men and women. Very ordinary people who are filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Show your power, your dynamic, dynamite power. As we go into prisons and schools and communities, I pray the way we live together will be dynamite. The way we encourage one another and bless one another, even the way we pray today in that prayer room will be dynamite, because we're on your target. We're going after what you're going. You're a missionary God, and you've planned that ordinary people like us will reach the world for you. So send us out, Jesus, ready, filled, equipped, moving in the power. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.